Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line, plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
It's Jeremy White and Joe DiBiase.
You've gone to the movie theater to get takeout?
This is another thing that people
Hold on. People do this.
What? Yes.
Why? Because of the butter?
Because it's movie theater popcorn.
But you can get movie theater popcorn in the grocery store.
Grocery store popcorn.
Popcorn is not different enough that it's worth going in and getting movie theater popcorn.
It certainly is. You're not living until you're going into the movie theater, getting popcorn, and going home. Why do you think they sell it before you have to go into the theater? Why do they sell it where the general public can just walk in and buy treats? Why is it there
That's a coincidence. And they didn't put that out there.
Is that true? If that's a coincidence, where do I buy food at a Sabres game?
After the
ticketed portion. Where do I buy food at the airport? After the ticketed portion.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on Western New York Sports Giant, WGR Sports Radio 550.
We just made a revelation in here right now. So today is Chopin Bulldogs' annual pre-draft special. And by the way, good morning. It's Joe DiBiase. Derek Kramer's in for Jeremy today. Hey. Jeremy, I believe, off celebrating his big Arsenal win yesterday.
Hey, no, why not?
That's why he's off. That's not why he's off today. I'm sure he is. He's very happy and celebrating that. By the way, we spent some time on that yesterday, on aggregate scoring and whatnot. Arsenal got through. So we made a revelation. In the update, did you say 6 o'clock pregame?
Yeah, no, that's already a lie. 3 minutes.
Yeah, because I said that yesterday too, and obviously, like that would be normal. That would be customary.
Yeah,
you know, 7 o'clock puck drop. We have an hour pregame show.
Right.
But today is Chopin Bulldogs pre-draft special, and we're all involved. So like, Sal will be on with the guys at 4:00. Jeremy at 4:30. Nate will be in at 5:00, and Zach's giving me the times of like, okay, when you want to hop on with the guys. I'm like, what about 6? He's like, perfect, 6. Yeah, so I'm coming in at 6, and I don't imagine I'm coming in to do Sabres pregame.
You are locked on Sabres.
Yeah, but I don't think I'm coming in for Sabres pregame. we'll do some Sabres today. I think a half hour is enough for that.
So it's good to know that 2 minutes into the morning, I already screwed up.
No, I mean, not on you. Not on you, I would say, at all. We're 1 week out from the NFL draft, and we will spend almost the entirety of today, of course, on the draft.
I am so ready.
I'm going to make you wait, though, just a minute.
I'm draft-pilled.
Make you just wait a minute, because we're going to have some draft guests a little bit later on. Eric Edholm will join the show later on. Sal's back. Sal's going to join us at 7. My brother, Lou DiBiase, in the middle. Sam, don't know why I went in that order. Lou, Locked On Eagles. I want to get him on for a couple minutes on James Bradberry, who did a visit with the Bills, and he is not a fan of what that guy's got left in the tank. Mm-hmm. So we'll get a little bit on Bradberry, and he's plugged in on the draft too. But want to start on the Sabres for just a minute?
I suppose. I mean, if we're not going to really get to them for most of the day today, it makes sense.
We might. Let's see where the conversation
takes
us.
It
is the finale tonight. And I've got two thoughts on them. Neither of which, by the way, the YouTube chat, I think I already brought up me pointing out that the slug makes me only feel good feelings now on Twitter yesterday, which is true. I had that revelation the other day at the Leaf game, was looking up in the banners, and, of course, the last banner up there is a slug logo. In fact, the last three banners, I believe, up there are from the slug logo.
Yeah, because didn't they... They won the last division title with the slug logo as well.
2010 Northeast Division,
yep.
2007 President's Trophy, and 2007 Northeast Division. Those are the last three banners that have been raised.
That's tough.
Yeah. And I'm looking up at them, and I'm just thinking, you know, that logo only makes me feel good feelings now. It's not a logo I like. I never really loved it. I don't know that many people did, but of course, you know, things grow on you over time, nostalgia kicks in, and when I look at it now, I don't think of the logo, I think of, I made some good teams. Seeing highlights of the Sabres-Bruins series from 15 years ago, which is a series that you can easily forget a million things that happened, right? It's a first-round series, they lost in six games. But like, oh, there's Rafi Torres putting Zdeno Chara in a headlock, and the crowd's going berserk in game one. Like, cool, that seemed like fun. They lost that series, but that seemed like fun. And
there's Nathan Gerby being Nathan Gerby. The biggest pest in the world.
Yep, they're wearing the slug.
They're wearing the slug.
For those years. And that's not even to speak of 07, which of course is, I mean, they're first place in the NHL. They win the division. So, anyways, that was not the thing I was going to mention. Although, I had two big thoughts about it being Philly tonight and being the last game of the season, where they're going to miss again. One is it's the Flyers and it's Fan Appreciation Night. And does that trigger a memory for everybody immediately? Flyers Fan Appreciation Night. 2011 Fan Appreciation Night is one of the best nights in that building in my lifetime. Not non-playoffs specifically, it probably is the best night in that building where everybody is on cloud nine. Right, Terry Pegula had just showed up as the owner, and the sales pitch was all these big hopes and dreams and money being influxed into the organization. And, oh, look, everyone's back. All the alumni are back, right? They were all invited back, and they had the big carpet out in front. And, you know, I mean, it felt like every player that had ever played for them was there. That obviously wasn't everybody, but LaFontaine is there, and the French Connection is there. Maybe not Rick Martin. I think he might have passed away just shortly before that. Danny Gare is there, of course. And, you know, you've got guys from the 90s teams that are there. Just everybody was there. Pekka. And it felt great. And then they clinched the playoffs that night. With you mentioned Gerby. I think he scores a spinorama goal.
Yeah, it was like this weird spinorama goal that, like, totally fools the goaltender and just, like,
yeah.
Hey, sick. All right, they're going to make it.
Backhand spinorama goal.
Yeah.
And then, right, they wind out the clock, they make it, and then icing on the cake is Thomas Vanek, I think, scores like a breakaway goal in overtime to win.
Yeah, he releases himself a miniature breakaway just past the blue line, and, like, it's perfect.
Yep. So they're going to the playoffs, and all the alumni are there, and the new owner, and everything. Imagine going back in time and telling yourself on that night that this is as good as your, this is it. Have fun. This is it. You're not going to feel feelings like this.
6:09 and you're trying to depress everybody.
It's going
to
be, just thinking about, like, it's unbelievable. I guess, right. It's hard for that to not be taken as, I should be so depressed.
Well, that's, it's
about
tough.
The team.
Like, I say it in jest, but, like, at the same time, yeah, it's not you doing that. It is the team doing that. You're just pointing it out.
Right. And I'm not even my motivation for that is not even to point out, like, oh, you should be depressed about this. It is, for me,
that's the first thing I think
amazement
of,
that it has happened.
Yeah. That's the first thing I thought.
It is so, I've said this before, but I really do think that this playoff drought is the second most incredible thing that's ever, most rare thing that's ever happened in Buffalo sports, other than the Bills going to four Super Bowls in a row. Like, that's you know why. That's never going to be repeated. This is, no hockey team ever has gone this long without making it. Even close. They are 40% beyond the NHL record at this point. They passed the record 4 years ago. Like, it's, the sport is not designed for a team to miss this many times in a row. So I'm pointing it out, I know, knowing that it's going to make people like, oh. But it's more just, can you believe that this is even possible?
Not even
going this long?
Not only that, but like, even lucky, they don't get that either. Right. The years where they could be seen as this potentially lucky team, they win 10 straight, but then proceed to collapse in the second half of the season to miss the playoffs entirely. And then the team that was in last place starting in December goes ahead and wins the Stanley Cup, takes your first round pick, and makes it the last one of that draft year, just for the extra salt in the wound. You have a team that is high-flying, fun, scores 91 points. I would have killed for 91 points this year. Nope, not the year for it. Florida gets one more than you.
Yep.
2 years ago. Even when they are in the realm of possibility for getting lucky, it doesn't work either. So it is not just that you are bad. You are also now unlucky. This year, the conference is bad. Montreal did everything that they could in their power to give it up.
And it feels like Montreal is, they're having one of these seasons where the roster, like, they've got some nice pieces, right? They clinched last night, and Cole Caulfield is great, and Lane Hutson has showed up and been like, oh, this guy's immediately going to be one of the best defensemen in the world. So they've got a couple guys. But look at that roster and tell me that that's a team that's like far more talented than the Sabres are. They might have some advantages. They have a goaltender, right?
Right.
Like, kind of came out of nowhere, Montembeau. And he's not been perfect either, but they've got a stabilized goaltending situation. And they've got guys that have produced at the top.
Ready? My turn.
Sometimes you get lucky.
My turn to say something depressing. You ready? In the 5 years that Kevin Adams has been the general manager, the Montreal Canadiens now have two playoff appearances more than you, including a Stanley Cup Finals run.
Right. They made the finals.
They made the final.
Yeah, they made it out of the Canada division.
Yes.
They made it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's number two for them yesterday. So, to flip that around, though, too, we have to sit in this pool of our own misery, our own tears.
Right.
I had written down to get to a more of an optimistic part of this, or maybe it won't turn into that, on the Sabres, because we'll get to the draft. 803-0550 is the phone number. Tonight, the final game of the season, and the Sabres are going to miss the playoffs. There is some draft stuff that could change tonight, but even that, like, it's 1% of lottery odds and one draft selection on the line tonight. And this is also isn't a draft where it's even worth paying attention to.
Also,
so who cares?
Anyone trying to say anything about it, like, at this point, spare me. I do not care.
Like, if it happens, you get it, fine. But
I'm
going
to roll my eyes hard on people saying that they need to lose tonight.
No, not tonight. So
I would also just not like to have a 5-game losing streak to end the season.
Been saying it for 2 months. The bar for this team at the end is just have people not being angry when they leave the arena at the end.
Yes.
And they've actually done that. Like, that loss to Toronto the other night was their first home loss in over a month.
And also, so it was a decent game. For 50 minutes, that was back and forth affair.
So, yeah, let's see if they win tonight. Flyers tonight. The thing I was thinking, though, as the season wraps up, is everyone seems to be coming back. Right, it feels like Adams is coming back. He said Lindy's coming back, which is to mean, I think if Adams is back, then Lindy's back, obviously. And the roster is going to have some changes, but not this overall roster surgery. Like, guys are locked up. They and I'm not saying these were the wrong decisions, but what comes with signing Zucker back and signing Greenway back and even signing Bryson back, they decided to do that. Is that everyone's here. Your goalie's under contract, almost your whole blue line. Clifton has still got a year left on his deal, right? And you've got 12 forwards under contract. Like, there'll be a change or two, but in large part, this seems to be the group. So what if I just played the game of, what if I went back in time 14 years to Fan Appreciation Night against the Flyers and told you that they're not going to make it again? They're not going to make it again for 14 years. Let me play it the other way. What if I go 1 year into the future and tell you that they're... Well, actually, let me do it the other way. What if you, 1 year from now, comes back in time to today and says they're going to make it? They made
it.
They made it. How'd they make it? What happened for them to make it? Because they appear to think the solution is in the building. And I think I'm skeptical of that. I think they need a couple of smart, savvy changes this offseason to the roster to fuel a 95 to 100 point team that can make it. I think they need way better goaltending from Luukkonen, mm-hmm. who I think 99% is back next year, or they need Devin Levi to show up and steal the job from him and be capable of that. So goaltending, and there's also the possibility of a couple of your young guys just showing up and taking massive steps forward. And Power comes to mind for me for that. Kind of stinks that he has this injury now, though.
Yeah.
That interrupts his offseason.
It's good, though, that it won't trickle into next season, so it could be
worse. That's good. But
it could be worse.
That's right. I want to mention some of the numbers from this year. Expected Buffalo, Chad DeDominis has pointed this out. From last year to this year, with a lot of the same group, this kind of points to they're not really that different from last year. So something's got to give if a year from now they've found a way to make it. Possession, shot attempts. Last year they were 18th, this year they were 17th. Shot quality, last year they were 25th, this year they were 28th. Goal differential, last year they were 13th, this year they were 16th. This is all 5-on-5, by the way, which actually is giving them a little bit of a break because we know their power play stinks. Actually, I could even go to that. Last year, power play, they were 29th in the league. This year, they're 24th in the league. They've gone up by 2%. How about that? Everything is pretty close. Penalty kill, they've gone down from 13th to 23rd.
And that's goaltending. Your best penalty killer has to be your goaltender.
Is that the answer? If yourself from a year from now comes back in time and tells you they've made it, now you've got to guess how that's happened. Do you think it's just they got a great season of goaltending, or does there have to be more layers to it?
There's more layers to it, and I have your layer. And it has to be this. Kevin Adams has to remember the sins of the past and act. There is a big move that has to be made in the offseason in order for that to change. That is what has to happen. You need a top four defenseman before the power injury.
Yeah.
You need
definitely
to do that.
His partner specifically.
Whoever his partner is. And Jacob Bernard Docker has been solid for them on Power's line. He showed to be a reliable line mate for him. Now, imagine that being it's JBD in case of injury.
Mm-hmm.
And then I can have Byram try to pair with someone else, like if it's just that he's a Darlene Merchant, for example, who wouldn't be.
Sure.
But it's how Samuelson got his contract.
Honestly. But that's – we'll get to that though in a moment.
It is.
I got a thought on Byram.
So ready? Welcome to the dream, Joe. This is the first time I've been on the morning show since I've had this dream. Welcome to the dream. Mm-hmm. The man scored point number 100 the other night in Buffalo, as a matter of fact. And that is Mitchie Biscuits. Mitch Marner is going to be the ideal here. This is the ideal. It's not like – I'm not saying it has to be Mitch Marner. He is the face to the ideal to me. It A, shows the fans. Ownership's actually serious. That's sick. B, it allows you to trade a player from your top six to upgrade your top four defensemen.
Yep.
And that is how it gets done. A two-pronged strategy on how to make the Sabres better. Yeah.
And it is a dream.
And it is a dream.
And it is really more than that. It's probably
it's also a
pipe dream.
It's also a message. Kevin Adams, you cannot for the third straight offseason sit on your hands. You cannot.
Yep.
You need one of his biggest flaws is he does not know when to strike, when the iron's hot, and when the team needs it. 2 years ago, they come off of this nice season. They look like one of the more promising teams in the league. Their answer is they sign Eric Johnson and Connor Clifton, and that's it. That was the moves they made. When he makes trades, they're not bad.
No, he's made two. We don't have results on the Josh Norris trade yet. Obviously, it's early in it, and he's only played three games. But I liked that move when they made it. And even though I've got a thought on Byram here that I think that relationship is coming to an end, I think they won that trade. I
mean, Middlestat's Colorado, already not in Colorado.
Exactly.
Already.
And he had such a down year for them. And Byram carries value, even if he's not going to be a part of the solution long term. So, I've liked a couple of the big deals that he's made. It's kind of, though, like Darcy in a way, where remember when Darcy used to make Darcy would make trades that we'd fall in love with. The Briere trade, of course, and the Gostad for a first-round pick trade always comes up.
Yes.
But they were so far and few between, that 6:20, do I get away with that at 6:20 in the morning? 9:20, I wouldn't. it's not happening often enough. I think, though, Adams is now in a place where his motivation is to make moves like that. It's just, can you get them done? And most recent example is he could. Either was a hockey trade to be found out there, and he found it, and he got it done, and he pulled the trigger on it. Didn't get hung up on, oh, Ottawa wants an extra second-round pick. Oh, I don't know about that. Mm-hmm. He's just like, you know what? Second-round pick, whatever.
And that is why, that's why the pipe dream, the vision, as you will, that is why I say it like that. Because you exchange a top six forward for a defenseman. Mm-hmm. That's a hockey trade. 1,000%. I need a win-win
but
situation.
You're saying that after they've signed Mitch Marner, right?
Because then you're also able to play You're also then also able to play off of, I've got a strength. You need this. I've got this.
Right. I also want to
piss off Toronto fans. Let's be abundantly clear about that.
I want to talk about Marner this offseason, and I hope the Sabres try for him. I'm not at all expecting
them
to get him. Be one of the finalists for him.
If you even show up, that tells Sabres fans you mean something.
That cannot be the answer to how they make it.
No, that's probably not the answer.
Right.
It's still the vision, and it's also...
it's a goal to go for, and I think they should absolutely try.
It's also a message.
Yeah.
Ownership then tells fans, by even showing up to Mitch Marner, saying,
yep,
we're trying. We hear you, and we're going to try to figure this out.
I'm glad you brought it up, because I do like thinking about it and them trying for it. The most likely, in my opinion, the most likely way that they get in is kind of what you started off with, which is luck. Luck. And there is nothing wrong with that.
There's nothing wrong
with Bills
that.
The Bills ended a playoff drought with a lot of luck.
Oh, my God, yes.
They turnover differential. I mean, you could even go to the Tyler Boyd play at the end. I'm more thinking about how
they even got to that situation in Week 17.
Right. And the tiebreakers that were involved with a three-way tie with the Chargers and the Ravens, and their turnover differential on the year was madness, right? Like, they got some luck. They got some breaks along the way. And for the Sabres, what's the hockey version of that? It might be, You get, we mentioned, a goalie season, and your offense doesn't completely crater. In fact, what about a power play that gets hot? Once. 2 years ago, I guess they got it. They got
hang
hot
on, ready?
A little bit.
Not even hot. Average.
Average power play with, you get a great goalie season. Teams do that all the time. And then, you know what? Sometimes they take too much out of it, and they think, oh, well, we can do this every year. And then they don't. But at this point, the bar is just give me even one of those seasons. Don't be so bad at like three things that your amazing shooting percentage, which the Sabres have this year, like they don't generate a ton of chances by league standards, but they score on them. They score on them at one of the highest rates in the league. I'm not saying that's total luck, but it's not something that you can necessarily count on every single year to be true of, oh, well, we're going to be 25th in scoring chances, but we're going to be third in goals.
That's actually luck in their benefit.
Right. It kind of sounds like luck. Again, I don't want to take total credit away because I think Thompson, and they've got some guys that are amazing
finishers.
Yeah,
but if you're shooting above average and that sort of thing, you're supposed to take advantage of that, and they don't.
So there's two things to me that I would answer number one here. Like, they make it next year, and it's not because of Mitch Marner. I mean, if Marner came in and did it, it'd be euphoria. But
that also puts bums in seats.
It's goalie, and Levi, I think, is a big part of that. And this is where I just get to. I'm kind of just waiting on the kids. I've got three individuals in mind that I feel like I'm just kind of waiting to save the day and hoping that, okay, Thompson's going to continue to be a superstar, and he'll stay constant, and Dahlin will stay constant, and Tuck will stay constant. Like, all these guys that are already good, well, they're going to remain. They're not going to regress. And then I'm going to get Power, Benson, and Levi to take massive steps forward. And they're going to fuel the improvement from being a bottom 10 team in the league to bubble playoff team.
Allow me to add a fourth.
I think you could really get one of the three in there. You've got a fourth, but
Kulik.
Kulik too, right.
Taking a jump.
Yeah, that's good. That's good for that. And he plays center, and, which is important for
he
this
plays
too.
Center, and he also is showing that promise.
So, like, to put my most optimistic spin on it, I think you've got a couple of guys, a couple of kids that have, I don't even want to say potential. Wouldn't you bet right now that all four of those guys become core parts of this team?
You'd want to bet on
You'd
that.
Bet at least three of the four. Hockey's hockey.
You need to expect
and
it.
You never get everybody to show up the way you want, right? 3 years ago, I might have said the same things about J.J. Paterka and Jack Quinn and maybe somebody else. And, oh, Jack Quinn actually didn't turn into that. So one of those four guys I just mentioned maybe doesn't actually turn into that. But can I get three of them? Can I get Power to become like a top level, top pair defenseman? And Benson goes from, Benson's already such a good impact player, but he doesn't put up offense yet. And can I get him to go from like a 35 point guy to like a 65 point guy? Kulik, he's going to score 15 goals this year, 25, and then Levi to become like a 1B goalie. To me, you get the kids, the most important of them, to take big steps forward next year. That could do it. And I think that's right now the most likely way it happens.
And the disgusting part about this is they also just need to stop skidding. They have three losing streaks above four games this year.
Yeah, and I don't know what to do with that. I mean,
and
it's just,
the thing is, well,
they get in their heads or something. Or
it's simple. There were two losing streaks that happened this year that combined for a quarter of your season.
Yeah. Well, one of them I think you don't want to totally explain it away this way, but they were missing Dahlin for almost the entirety of that 13-game losing streak. And that is a problem, though.
Minnesota made the playoffs without Kaprizov.
And that's what I mean.
In the lineup.
You've got to be more capable of withstanding an injury to one of your best players.
And the cap hits a Suter Parise still.
Sure.
So, like, the Wild are my way of taking that excuse and throwing it out the window.
Yep. 803-0550 is the phone number. We'll get to the draft, but if you do have a thought on this, yourself from a year from now comes back in time and tells you they've made the playoffs. How do you think it happened? How would they go from, what's the most likely way they'd go from one of the worst teams in the league this year to breaking the playoff drought finally next year? We'll get to the draft. We are 1 week out. I want to get to some Luther Burden talk today. Derek's got a list of defensive tackles that he wants to get to. I'm excited about that.
I'm draft pill.
Get me into some nose tackle talk. As we are 1 week out, we will be at Resurgence, by the way, next week. You can buy tickets, and then we'll be at Wayland on Friday. So we're 1 week out from our draft parties as well. It's Jeremy and Joe. Jeremy is off today. Derek Kramer hanging out. Evan DePasquale on the board. Owen Parker as well. Sabres and Flyers tonight and 1 week from the draft. We'll talk more about it coming up next here on WGR.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
Knocks it free to Vanek. Vanek tipping it to the blue line and out to center. And Kirby comes in over the line. Kirby with a spin around by the back, and he scores! Whoa! Get ready for the high line rail! Nathan Kirby, second of the night. Top shelf from behind the cookies, and it's tied at three!
I don't think we're going to get that type of energy tonight, sorry to say. Could still be a fun night in the arena, though. Like I said, for a month and a half, you go down to the arena, you're feeling pretty good leaving. If you're able to just think about the game you went to and not, like, you know, everything else. Anyways, good morning. Fan appreciation night against Philadelphia tonight. First 15,000 fans will get Alex Tuck bobbleheads. So that's a cool giveaway. So, yeah, we'll have pregame, as Derek mentioned, at 6:30 tonight. And we talked a little bit in the first segment about, like, if the Sabres did break the drought next year, how would it happen? So if you want to get in on that, you're welcome to at 803-0550. It's Jeremy and Joe. Derek's in today for Jeremy. And we are 1 week away from the NFL draft. I was just going through my emails during the break, and I got one from last night that is, 2025 draft game for those that are interested. Someone's running a draft game, and it's not really that complex. It's like, just pick 8 players and the exact pick they'll go in. That's it. You know what I mean? So if you think Cam Ward going 1 overall, that feels like that's an easy one. But you get points based on what the pick is. So I could put Cam Ward 1, and if I get that right, I get 1 point. But if I put, you know, Kenneth Grant, Bills 30, don't even have to put a team, and I get Grant, then I get 30 points.
Okay.
Which means you get something late in the draft, you probably win. This actually had me thinking about, though, the top 7 picks. Not that in this game you would do that, because, again, there's a point system. But did you see the breakdown of the odds right now with the top 7 picks?
I cannot wait to hear the odds on Cam Ward.
The top 7 picks are all by the betting odds are acting as though the books are acting as though they know who the top 7 picks are. They know which each pick will be. And you tell me if you would think that these are locks or likely. Cam Ward 1, I mean, that's easy, right?
He's going to be. Did you hear about the Fortnite stream?
Yes, we played it. Actually, the clip of it yesterday.
Too funny.
Yeah.
Trail on burst.
It was it's funny receiver. If you missed it. It was Cam Ward being asked, like, who the top 5 receivers in football are. And he did the thing where he said, 1, Calvin Ridley. And you thought, oh, okay, he's going to do the thing here. He's gonna play the game of all the Titans guys are all the best because he's going to be a Titan. So Calvin Ridley, 1. But then he says Jamar Chase, 2. Mm-hmm. So it's like, okay, wait. No, he's playing the game for real. Number three is like Justin Jefferson. Like, okay, he's playing the game for real. Then he goes back to the Titans game and says at number four, it's Treylon Burks.
A.J. Brown's a dog, but he's not Treylon Burks.
Right. So Cam Ward's going to be a Titan.
Yeah.
Cam Ward's going to be a Titan. The Browns, Travis Hunter is a heavy favorite.
That makes sense. He's the best player on the board.
And you can see him going to Cleveland.
I could see Cleveland screwing it up.
Cleveland, what is screwing it up to you? Passing on a quarterback?
Passing on Hunter.
Passing on Hunter. Okay. Yeah. So that one you're not actually like 100% solid in then.
No, and it's more about the Browns than it is about Hunter.
Okay. Number three, Abdul Carter is minus 300 to be the Giant pick.
And that makes sense. Again, it's best player available.
Yep.
Though the Giants are, you know, getting a pre-draft visit in with Shedeur Sanders, my bet is it's about trading back into the first round.
I would agree with that. I think Cleveland, the Giants, are probably hoping Sanders falls to them in the low 20s so that they could trade up into that area.
That's aggressive. That's a pretty penny to pay.
I know.
I'm going to say it and you're going to hate it.
Go ahead.
Bills at 30.
No, yeah, that's totally possible. Totally possible.
I'm going to be sitting in this chair on Thursday night next week, and the Bills are going to trade from 30.
Yeah.
And it's because of Shedeur Sanders.
Okay, so it's gone Ward, Hunter, Carter. Number four, minus 225, Will Campbell, the LSU tackle to New England.
That makes too much sense, yes.
Okay. So we feel solid like these are going to be the first four picks.
Yes.
Number five, the Jaguars and Mason Graham, the defensive tackle from Michigan.
That's Graham falls to Jacksonville.
Mm-hmm.
Do it.
Number six, the Raiders and Ashton Jeanty, the running back from Boise State.
The Raiders, I feel like, are a mystery. They can do a lot of
that things. One's more of a slight favorite than it is like a heavy, heavy favorite. But I get it. They do not have a running back. Mm-hmm. And if you look at Pete Carroll's tendencies in his final 3-4 years, that's even beyond that, in Seattle, he loved to invest in running back.
He was traumatized.
Even when he didn't have a good offensive line.
He was traumatized by the Super Bowl loss.
Yeah, maybe. Right. Right, because think about after that game, he drafts Rashad Penny in the second round. No, the first round, right?
Mm-hmm.
Penny was a first-round pick?
Penny was a first-round
pick. Like a late first-round pick. And then he drafts Kenneth Walker in the second round.
Yep.
And then with Kenneth Walker, they draft Zach Charbonnet in the second round. So three running backs in rounds one and two in like a four-year span.
Yes.
Five-year span. I don't remember how long ago Penny was picked. So Jeanty to the Raiders.
Okay. I mean, like I said, I feel like the Raiders can go a lot of ways. Jeanty makes sense.
So at six is when you would go, okay, that one could go a couple
it's
different ways.
It's where things start getting interesting at three, I should say. But six is where it's like, all right, now the real mysteries are going to start happening.
And then the other favorite pick, like better than minus money, is the Missouri offensive tackle Membo to the Jets.
Oh, yeah.
Armon Membo at number
seven. Line,
So top seven. Odds think, like, okay, these are going to be the seven picks.
Mm-hmm.
So, for them, maybe the draft starts at, like, at eight, and the Panthers want to trade down. That's out there. So, I am curious about the top of the draft, though. There's only one quarterback in this. This is assuming nobody gets obsessed or scared of losing their guy. Or someone doesn't want to come up and get their guy. If New Orleans right now is on the table for a quarterback, right? Because Derek Carr's out for maybe the season. He's got a shoulder injury. And if you are Cleveland or you're the New York Giants or more than that, you're a team that is coming from the teens. I think Pittsburgh is a very interesting team for this right now. Or if it is who else is picking in the teens somewhere. If you are Seattle, who's at number 18,
mm-hmm.
Are you tempted to come up and get a pick in the top 10 to draft your quarterback because you don't think that they're going to be there forever? Sanders or Dart are the two names for that.
Which is kind of funny. Like, I looked at the draft attendees, the 17 players that are going to be there.
Yeah.
Dart and Milroe are going.
Right.
Sanders is not. And that kind of leans to typically that's a player that does not know where he's going to be drafted and does not want to deal with that.
Yeah, maybe. And it's out there that Sanders might even prefer to go a little bit later, which I think is he wants to go to Pittsburgh. And Pittsburgh, did you know they don't have a second-round pick? They kind of have to do it in round one, don't they?
They would have to do it in round one, yeah.
Waiting till round three for their starting quarterback This is if Aaron Rodgers doesn't sign there, and there was some smoke yesterday that maybe that won't happen. Yeah, I think Pittsburgh's in a spot. I'd like to say they'd be the team to trade up, but as I mentioned, they don't have a second. So
yeah, in the first round, you need that second round pick if you're going to move.
Are they going to trade their the other alternative is they trade their future first to go up and get a guy, but I think that's really expensive. So just looking at the top of the draft, the odds are shifting a lot in favor of they think they know who the top seven picks will be. And there's one player that, man, if you could envision him in a Bills uniform for what the Bills need, they'll never get him. But Mason Graham, defensive tackle from Michigan, isn't he exactly what the Bills could use on the defensive line?
No.
You don't? Oh, because you're out on...
Ready?
Derek's got a thing about the draft.
Let's talk about defensive tackles.
Yeah, Derek's got a defensive tackle thing.
I've got a defensive tackle take. And to have one of those, you've got to be dug in on the draft this year.
Mm-hmm.
If my D tackle that the Bills draft is not 300 pounds, I don't know how I'm going to like it.
Mm-hmm.
I need a 3 next to that weight number.
Well, does it help for you then that Mason Graham at the combine weighed in at 296?
Yep. That's
I missed close. It by 4 pounds.
It's close, but I also kind of want someone at 305, 310.
Michigan listed him at 320, by the way.
I need big boys. Yeah. I need guys that I can relate, and like if I want McDonald's advice, I can go to this. Like that's the kind of weight I want. Kenneth Grant is that guy. Alfred Collins is that guy. Tylik Williams is that guy.
Yep.
Those are big boys. CJ West out of Indiana. And that's someone who is a Purdue guy. I'm touting an Indiana prospect.
Mm-hmm.
Like this is a draft where the big boys, they are big. Josh Farmer out of Florida State. That's a perfect guy in round two.
Yep.
Darius Alexander out of Toledo. Derek Harmon out of Oregon.
Yep.
These are guys that are 300 pounds. They are one technique players.
One technique. You need it to be a one technique.
I need one techniques to unlock Ed Oliver again.
Yep.
I don't need another Ed Oliver.
Yeah. And ideally for me, I've been saying this all offseason, it's almost impossible to get, that my dream defensive lineman for the Bills is a more mature, more professional Marcell Dareus.
Big boys.
Big guy that gives you a little bit of... I mean, Dareus gave you a lot of this.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's very unlikely you would get a guy like that not in like the top 10. Give me somebody that has some ability to play on third downs, right? Like, remember when Star Lotulelei was here, he was never on the field on third downs. Obvious passing situations, he was a zero for you. So he could do the job. He could eat up blocks and make it easier for the linebackers, but there was no versatility. There was no ability to get after the passer. And not all these guys that you're mentioning, I think, have that in them. But some do. Like, there's a belief that...
Darius Alexander
is that?
1,000% is that guy.
We'll do more on him. That might be my guy then.
Out of Toledo. He's a fringe first, early second guy.
Okay.
And...
which for the Bills would probably mean first.
It would mean first or trade down.
Yep.
And that, I think, is perfect for them. Kenneth Grant has pass rush ability. That's probably why he's like almost everyone's favorite D-tackle prospect.
Yeah, a lot of people think he'll be able to do it.
So I like a lot of this D-tackle class. And Zach Jones and I oftentimes on the Extra Point Show this year have coined, it was the wide receiver train last year. This train's a lot smaller, less noisy. It's the beef wagon.
Oh, okay, the beef wagon. I think we had something similar early in the offseason. Was it the freighter? We had a foghorn that we were playing.
Yep.
I think it was the freighter.
Yeah.
803-0550 is the phone number. Defensive tackle certainly on the table for the Bills. We'll ask Eric Edholm a little bit later on this morning about that. Sal's coming up at 7. And last night we had more of the NBA play-in tournament, which you didn't get good games, which kind of is a letdown because I love the format so much, and you'll get a few more of those coming up on Friday. Sabres tonight, 803-0550 is the phone number. It's Joe DiBiase. Derek Kramer's in for Jeremy today. This is WGR.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps. Restrictions apply.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Since the dawn of Major League Baseball, every player has honed their unique skills.
Judge, drive deep to left.
Ohtani connects and it's gone.
Skeen strikes out the side.
Bobby Witt Jr. throws in time.
Harper does it again.
Witness the hills of the game in ballparks nationwide. Get your tickets today at MLB.com/tickets. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Join us in the fight against cancer by riding with Bulldog and WGR's Ride for Roswell team on Saturday, June 28th. I'll be involved as well. Once you join our team, you'll receive an email, pick up your team t-shirt and water bottle at Tom's Pro Bikes on Walden Avenue in Lancaster. And if you are not a rider, you can still support our cause by donating to our team and helping us reach our goal. Visit WGR550.com for details. We'll get to some football. Of course, the draft a week away. Sal's coming up next. Last night, Montreal punches their ticket to the playoffs, which is cool in the sense of Montreal as an atmosphere in the playoffs. The Bell Center is unmatched in the sport.
Yeah, but I'm also a
I don't think jealous. They're very good, and I'm jealous.
I'm also very jealous.
What are the odds you think this is the year Canada wins a cup? They've got a few teams.
They've got a lot of teams.
Like, by volume,
they've got five.
This is, like, the most they usually get. Right, Toronto, of course.
Toronto, Ottawa, Montreal.
Yep, and then Winnipeg, Edmonton.
So
that's your five. Vancouver and Calgary just missed out.
Yeah, and they were close, honestly, both of those teams finishing with 90 or more.
Even though it's five, what's the number that you could realistically actually see winning the cup?
I don't know. Because
Montreal's not winning the Stanley Cup.
Yeah, I don't know if Edmonton,
Ottawa's not winning the Stanley Cup.
Yeah, no, those two are already cannon fodder for your first seeds there. So at minimum, there's one Canadian team guaranteed to make it into the second round.
Because they play each other.
Because Toronto and Ottawa.
Yeah.
But really, Montreal is going to, even with how mediocre Washington is, mm-hmm. Montreal's not surviving a seven-game series.
No, really, like, four of the five, It's very easy to get to, oh, yeah, they're not doing it. Yeah. I mean, Toronto, it's just their past playoffs success, right?
And that would still mean
lack thereof, I should say.
That would still mean Ottawa's in the second round and tell me they're not getting raked by Tampa or Florida.
Yeah, but even, I mean, that could just be Toronto making it through and then getting pummeled in round two by Florida or whoever.
It's Tampa or Florida.
For me, the only team I could actually see winning the cup from Canada is Edmonton. Honestly, they were just there. They were a game away. They've got the best players. Like, Winnipeg has the goalie, but I don't think they make it. I'm getting perfect goaltending through four rounds. It's possible, but I don't think they have. I don't know. They
just
had a great regular season, but they had the number one power play, and that's another thing for me, is the penalties dry up when you get to the playoffs. And if you are a team that had a lot of success because of your power play, then it's just going to be harder for you. And to me, that's a little bit of Winnipeg.
I looked at how many games did Hellebuck play this year. He played 63.
Yep.
That's kind of his usual workload.
Yeah.
He usually tapers off in the playoffs because of that.
I'll be rooting for them.
Yeah, I'm
but
picking Winnipeg as my Canada team to root for.
Yeah.
And I also think, though, realistically, despite everything I just said, Winnipeg's also the one that I have is the best threat to move farthest.
Okay. All right, I would go Edmonton, but get that. Skinner, by the way, Jeff Skinner will play his first ever playoff game.
As one
proud, which means
one proud tear falls from my face.
Which means who becomes the active leader most games played without a playoff game?
I'm going to guess it's a Sabre or a former Sabre.
It's a former Sabre.
It's Rasmus Ristolainen,
yes,
isn't
it? Yes, it is, because he's left and still not made it. I don't think he's playing tonight. I think he's been dealing with an injury. Sabres, yep, and Flyers tonight at 7. Sal Capaccio, when we come back, we'll start to look ahead to the draft. Sal's got a pretty strong feeling about the first three picks. I heard him say it in Chopin Bulldog a couple weeks ago. We'll get to the Bills in round one and in round two with Sal Capaccio. When we come back, it's Jeremy and Joe. Jeremy is off today, and this is WGR.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we started together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.